We call it motivation because if the Lord can do it for one, He can do it for the other. This morning, by God's grace, I have the privilege of taking you down to a place called Grabo, down in the Western Cape, and also Hermanus, just that whole area, because the Lord has placed somebody there with a passion for young people, a passion for the gospel, and a passion for life. Pastor Thulani Jafta, good morning to you. How are you keeping on this beautiful Monday morning?
Good morning, Reynard, and good morning to all the listeners. I'm good. By the grace of God, God is good, and I'm so thankful for the privilege that I can get and be able to share the gospel on radio with you, brother.
Right.
Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
I can't complain. The Lord is good to us, better than what we deserve, Thulani. Thank you so much. Thulani, normally we ask people, what was life like before you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Then we ask them, tell us, how did you meet the Lord Jesus Christ? And then we ask them, what is life like now? For the first time in my 18 years at Radio Pulpit, I don't want to focus on the past. I don't want to ask you what life was like before you met the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to focus on is, how did Jesus become your Savior? Tell me about that faithful day when you realized this unseen God, this Jesus has died for your sins and your life too. Tell me about that day.
It's a very interesting story, what the Lord did in my life. I remember it was in 2010. It was the time when I got out of prison, because I had watched some of the football games in prison, and I got out of prison. I always had a desire to change in my heart, but I could not change, and I tried to pray to the Lord so that I can change, but there was no change because I was against it in a drug addict, the worst. I was a member of the gang named the 28th by then. Now, that Friday that I got out of prison, the first thing that happened, is that I was attacked, shot at, but luckily, miraculously, a taxi drove past, and the guy that was in the taxi picked me up and put me in the taxi, not knowing that the guy that was chasing me was his cousin, but he was God used him so miraculously. When they came, he actually lied to them, about me, and all of that. So he protected me. Then the following week, I was beaten up by a mob, A lot of people, there were owners involved, and I was on a wheelchair, my eyes were going to operate and be taken out, but I was taken to Tigerberg Hospital in Cape Town. So what happened there, there was this lady that came in with a group of people coming to pray for people, for a man that had ear problems because we were laying on the same ward. So then as they were praying there, I did not take note of them or whatever. I just left them to do that. And there was a guy that was a 26 that came to me and tried to speak about Jesus. But since those gangs are rivals, I could not accept what he was telling me, because he was from a different gang and he gave a testimony that he was dead. So I could not accept what he was telling me because I felt like, I'm in a bigger gang, why should I listen to him? And then this lady came. I don't know her name. I don't know where they went. I don't know what I did with their telephone numbers. And she spoke to me about Jesus, telling me about Jesus Christ, what happened is that I had never heard a message like that about love. For me, it was like nobody cares. I'm just me in the township, I'm just this young man, that has to stand and be strong for his family and be strong and look strong from the outside, but really in the inside, I was broken, And I came out of the hospital with Jesus now that I had accepted from this colored lady. You know, I accepted Jesus in Afrikaans, but I'm a Xhosa boy. So I did the prayer in Afrikaans, you know, in hospital. So this lady, I never saw her again. I went out, back into the township. You know, the first thing I went to when I got out to the township is where they sell drugs. I went there and I did drugs again. You know, I went back to my kind of sugar mama. You know, the lady that I was in an unpure relationship in with. You know, I went and slept there. Yeah, I'm telling you, Vainant, something had happened in the hospital, because now what the problem was, when I was taking in the drugs, you know, I was not comfortable. I was not happy. You know, I felt like, you know, this is disgusting. Why am I feeling like this? You know, why am I not enjoying it? Even going, sleeping around, you know, to that. I was not feeling it. I'm good about it. You know, and then I went to the Lord, because my mom was a prayer warrior, and my sisters were born again also. And they were praying for me, you know, and I, from an early age, you know, knew God because of a man named Michael Ulefir. He was a white South, white Afrikaner, you know, that came into the township, you know, when I was little and shared the gospel with us. You know, he actually made me memorize Ketini Geboye, the Ten Commandments in Afrikaans, you know, what I was a cause of God. So I memorized that. I always knew that there was a God. Even when I was a child, when I was in prison, I always knew there is a God that loves me. And I always knew that if I would die, I would go to hell. You know, and I went to the Lord, you know, at this shack at my mother's shack. It was a small place where they used to come together and pray. And I went there and lied on my tummy. I told the Lord that, Lord Jesus, I love drugs. I have a desire for it. You know, I love. I'm flipping around and all of that. You know, it's in my. But I want to stop. I want to serve you. I can't do it on my own. I'm tired of hurting my family. I'm tired of hurting the community. And I have a daughter. You know, that is I think Smotando was about 9 months. If she was not a year old. You know, and I want to be a good dad to my daughter. You know, please, Lord, help me. If you are God and you are there, please help me. Vainant, I'm telling you, I was not on my knees. I was not on my feet. I was lying on my tummy, praying to God alone. And at that moment, I felt, you know, a feeling that I never felt before, like a warm, cold feeling that came up from the top of my head to my toes. You know, and from my toes up again. And from that day on, I was delivered from drugs. I'm delivered by God from tick. There's a drug named tick here in the Western Cape that we use, and buttons, you call it buttons, mandrax, you know, all of those pills. You know, I was delivered by the Lord from there. You know, through prayer, you know, and through the decision that I had made in hospital.
Your life has never been the same again. Today, you are a pastor. You answered the call for the Lord. Today, you are a pastor, and I believe you love kids. You love young people, and you do a lot of speaking at schools. What do you tell? Yeah. What do you tell the young people of today when you go and speak at schools? What is your message?
My message at schools, mostly, you know, and the reason why I'm doing it, you know, it is because there was no one for me, you know, at that age in the township. You know, there's no sports, you know, nobody looks up, you know, the most important thing is cancerism, the role models are cancerism, you know, nobody actually did what is doing, what Meneer Ulefir, that Afrikaner, guy did. He's old now, he's an old man now, very old, nobody is doing that, you know, but what I noticed, what he did for me, you know, and for a lot of boys in the township in Grabo, you know, had an impact in my life, you know, because I carried the Ten Commandments in my heart. I knew, you know, the stories from the Bible stories that he was telling us that one day I'm going to go to hell. And so I want to encourage boys. My message is to encourage young boys, young people, you know, especially those that are in a township that grew up without a father, you know, without both parents, you know, and that are so exposed to that life that they can become better people where they are. You know, and my message most of the time that I try by all means to let the boys know, you know, and not believe the lie that is out there that, you know, the reason that they are like that, you know, it's because their fathers are not in their lives, you know, because for my I also grew up without a father, with a single mother that was drinking a lot, but my mother would always take care of us. So the decision of going to take drugs, you know, was my decision, you know, and I don't know what effect it had of being a father, because I just grew up without a father, but the decision for taking drugs and going into gangsterism was my decision. So I tried by all means so that they don't believe that lie as they grew up, as they are going to drugs and shift the blame on other things. My message is like, I would like them to take full responsibility of their lives while they are at 14, 8 years, 15 years, if they grew up. And I tell them straight that God has entrusted them with their families. They are the men that are there, you know. So they can become greater a man of God. They can become whatever they would want to be, but they need to study and look at the circumstances at their houses and make a right choice by choosing Jesus, you know, and going to school, you know, and choose which friends that they will like to play with, you know, and to be around with, you know, and all of those kind of things. And I gave them a testimony of my life, of how prison life was, you know, and how and what happened when I made the decision of deciding to be against it, to be in drugs. What happened to me? What was the consequences? What could I have been today, you know, if I had not criminal records? Yeah. So I tell them the decisions that you make at that age right now are the decisions that will determine how your future is going to be. So you guys better be careful. That's what I'm telling them, because, you know, you might end up with a criminal record. You know, some of my friends end up dead without Jesus, and they might be in hell, you know. And some of the guys that that I knew are on the streets, and they are eating from the dustbin. So there is no life, you know, in crime. And crime does pay. Crime does pay, but the only thing crime pay is heartache, a criminal record, death, you know, and not being loved by your community and not being able to do something for yourself and ending up one day in the pit of hell of not knowing Jesus. So crime does not pay. That is my message, and I try to love them and give them the love that I never received as a boy from a father. And I also have a soccer team in the township. The soccer team is what I use as bait. You know, I use it as bait so that when they come to play soccer, they don't go to the field without coming to the Bible study on Wednesday. Because I tell them, you know what, it's not good that I tell you how to play soccer, you know, and your minds are not good. So if you don't come on Wednesday to the Bible study, so you don't come to the gym, you know, and we don't play on Sundays. On Sundays, we are in church. We'll rather play after church, you know, so I have that soccer team that I have in the township that I'm using, you know, draw the boys. Yeah. And all of them are coming, you know, they are always there.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a party like Mr. Olafield to take them, to take us through the plantation, to the dams and all of that. So I use the skill that God also had given me to play soccer, because I was good in soccer. So I'm training them while I'm playing soccer, but I'm trying also to show them and love them and teach them. We do have a Bible study as a team,
yeah,
you know, together. So that's what I'm doing in the township, and I'm trying my best, and I'm praying, you know, so that I can make a change. I had a team here in Hermanus, you know, the boys turned out to be very good. You know, I started with them while they were 9, some of them 8 years. They are now 19 years, and we don't qualify anymore. They don't qualify anymore to be able to play under 17 and under 19 because they are old. But the way they conduct their lives, the way that they are living now, it's totally different, you know. And I'm so thankful to God that I could do and be part of that change.
I listen to what you say, and one powerful tool that you're using, one majestic, powerful tool is love. And love conquers the heart. We're all in need of love. It doesn't matter who you are. Tulani, not only the youngsters, but this radio station, the message goes into prisons everywhere, all over South Africa this morning.
Yes.
You, by your own testimony, were once a 28.
Yes.
The Lord had set you free. A 26 came to minister to you. You didn't listen because he was a rival gang member. But yes, if you have to speak to somebody in prison this morning who says, I have a desire to change, if the Lord can change a Xhosa boy down in the Western Cape from a very young age without a father who was addicted to drugs, if God can do that for him, he can do it for me. Speak. You've literally got a minute. Speak into somebody in prison. Speak to that man right now.
Well, I can tell you, tell the brother that is in prison right now. The first thing, you are not what you are, what you think you are, and you are not what the people think you are. You are what God says you are. God has created you, you know, for a purpose on this earth. And that purpose for you of being in prison, it's not a purpose, but I believe, you know, God can use that situation that you are right in now, that you are in now, when you come out of it and when you have made a decision to follow Jesus, to use that to be able to minister to other prisoners. So what I can tell you, you know, God is able. He can change you. He can transform your life. It can make you a better person, you know, and you can live a free life. I know in the prison gang, you know, that there is a rule that once you enter the gang, you know, there's only one door to enter, but there is no door to get out of it. I'm telling you, there is a door to get out of a prison gang, and that door, Jesus is the one that can open it, you know, and you can be set free. You can become the person that you want to be, you know, that God has created you to be. And I want you to know that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive, and he loves you, and he cares about you, and he is a forgiver of sins. It does not matter what you have committed, what kind of sins that you have done. Especially, I think this week I will be teaching to a church about the forgiveness and the mercies of God. And I would like you, my brother, to go read 2 Chronicles chapter 33 about a guy named Manasseh there that God forgave, you know. And I think your sins, you know, your transgression can't outbeat Manasseh's. You know, it can't also maybe outbeat mine. God forgives all sins. You know, don't let that put you there. Even if you have been sentenced to life in prison, you're on earth, but you can be set free, you know, on the afterlife, you know, because there's also another prison on the afterlife, and there's also freedom after death, you know, and you can be set free. You can be here for the rest of your life, but life goes on. There is another real life after the grave, you know, so you can make a decision. It's up to you. It's not painful. It's not costly. You don't pay for Jesus. You don't, there's no offering that you are giving to get Jesus. You know, there is no thing that you need to do. It is for free. It's a free gift that comes from God that you can accept, and you can change your life. And Jesus loves you, and you can become a better father. If you are a father, you can become a better son when you come out. You can be a speaker in the community that helps other people, you know. But the first step is to accept Jesus.
Tulani, I have to I have to sadly so interrupt you there, my brother.
Yes.
You have.
Yes.
I love your passion for the Lord. I love your testimony. May God grant you wisdom this day. You're a soul winner, and thank you for your boldness. Go out into the community, spread love. Most of all, spread the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you, thank you, thank you so much for speaking to us here at Radio Pulpit this morning.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And may God bless the radio station and bless you. You are doing a good work.
Thank you, my brother.
Thank you for the opportunity, Wayne.
Keep on. God bless you. God bless. Bye-bye.